Morning. Good morning up the back. Hey, you're a quiet bunch. You good? It's good to be back this way. We haven't been this way, I think, for, well, it's got to be Pastor John, 4, 5, 6, 7, something years. Guess what we woke up to? Bacon and eggs this morning. Thank you very much for that. John, it was wonderful. Karen, we stayed overnight and we had an awesome time. They're good people, good pastors, yes?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Leaders and the people assembled, including the lead priests and the teachers of the religious law. Jesus was led before the high council and they said, "Tell us if you are the Messiah." Then he replied, "If I tell you, you won't believe me. If I ask you a question, you won't answer. But the time is soon coming when I, the Son of Man, will be sitting at God's right hand in the place of power." And they all shouted, "Then you claim to be the Son of God." And Jesus replied, "You are right in saying that I am." Friends, there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I want to share this song that I just recently penned, simply called Messiah. And I hope you're blessed by it. No more debt to pay, Jesus for me. Yeah, they all gather round just to see. Some in the crowd, they cry, "Who was this man that they called the Savior? Who was this man that set the captives free? Who was this man that they called Redeemer? Tell me, was this man?" Some cried, "He's the Messiah. That man is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, Jesus." Well, no more time to waste for you and I. That's right. Reach out and embrace Mary's child, Jesus. You are the one that they call the Savior. You are the one that set the captives free. Jesus, you are the one they call Redeemer. Jesus, you are the one. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the one who sets the captives free, heals the blind, our Savior Jesus. The coming King, I believe, will one day soon. Do you believe it here this morning? Do you believe it here this morning? I believe Jesus is preparing a place for each one of us. And the time is quickly. We're living in interesting days. 2012, well, is this the end? According to some, it is. As long as we have our lives right with Jesus Christ, I believe that it doesn't really matter. It's now, next year, the year after. We need to be prepared as God's people and be aware of the times that are soon. Hey, I want to share this song. It's we were talking a little bit about to somebody this morning. She's gone. Oh, there you are. Just about a bit of the journey of where I've come from. I didn't share this part of it, but when I first became a believer some 22-something years ago, I remember coming back from a Christian camp where I accepted Jesus into my life and climbed up on the pergola and to the tip of the apex of the house, and for the first time in my life realized that, wow, God is big. The stars, the heavens above me. And I remember it was a time of getting rid of a lot of junk and in my life, and of course feeling, I don't know if you can go by feeling, but just sensing the cleansing that only Christ can give you. And not only did I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, my darling wife is at the camp, so our relationship formed. We were married 6 months later, but and that's been a blessing for 20 years, love, can I just say. Valentine's Day was last week. This is all about kind of my journey, realizing that nothing, nobody can compare to my God. Like a river running wild, so my heart was till I found your arms. Your arms, Jesus. You came just in time. You opened up my eyes. Overwhelmingly, like a child, I gravitate. Friends simply responding to his love. It's all about your love, Jesus, your mercy. For in you, I'll rise up and conquer my fear. It's true what they say, none compare. Words don't describe its love. Jesus, your love, who can compare?
True, wonderful.
My life was going my own way, but God got a hold of me. He changed my world around. Today, after 22 or something years, I'm going God's way, and I can tell you today, yes, it is the best way. Like a fortress standing firm, so there's freedom found in God's word. That's right, God's holy word. Jesus, so glad you came to me. So glad you set me free. Finally, oh, you. I'll rise up and conquer my fear. It's true what they say. Yes, he hung there on a cross for you. But guess what? On the third day, our Savior Jesus, he arose. And guess what? Today, our Savior Jesus, he's preparing a place for you and I. Amen. He's coming back with us soon. I believe, what do I do with my remote? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. You're so awesome. We love you. Technology in a box. We do love you, Lord. We thank you for your awesome graciousness, for your mercy and your grace that I've personally experienced. And there's no doubt in my mind that many here, hopefully most, would have experienced how awesome you are. And how you can transform a life and set us on a path with purpose and destiny being secure and knowing that you are our God and that there is a place that you are preparing for each one of us. In this shaky world, Lord, we hold on to our future heaven, our future place, our home. And Father, as Olga brings your word this morning, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive what you want to impart to each one of us. I thank you for this church. I thank you for Pastor Karen and John, for their leadership, for their love, for their approachability and just their genuineness, Father. And I pray that you would bless them, encourage them and this church in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Anybody said?
Well, good morning. It was probably about 10 years ago that we came here, and I remember we were out the back there and had an awesome time out the back there somewhere, but we had a really good time, and we've just been waiting. You know, God has his way, and he has seasons of taking us places, whether we're in full-time ministry or just in life's journey. And so we've been waiting to come back here to this particular church. We have been to Tinkham Bay before, but with another church, but it's good to be here with you this morning. If you've got your Bibles, would you like to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, please? Second Kings chapter 6. And we'll be looking at Elisha and how he traps the Arameans. Starting from verse 8, we'll start to read. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on that place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. I just want to sort of go through this particular bit of scripture. And I pull some things out. The first thing I notice about this particular scripture is that fear is a powerful negative emotion. And I thought it was very interesting because, you know, Pastor John read I think it was Psalm 27, where the psalmist was saying about, he has no fear except for the fear of the Lord. And this servant, he's got up and he sees this amazing army surrounding the city, and straight away, it's a natural reaction. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? He was freaking out, wouldn't you? I think each and every person here has in some stage of your life been afraid of something. Almost out of control, whether it be a health issue, a financial issue, a family matter, or something, or maybe just somebody's come around the corner and gone, boom. We've all had those experiences of being afraid. We've just come back from down in Gundawindi. And, you know, we were down in Gundawindi, and the word was out. It was going to be 18, I don't know whether it was inches or centimetres. It's going to be a lot of rain. It's coming through. And on the weather report, you know, Eric was checking the weather and making sure we were going to be able to get through. And, you know, we had genuine concerns because we had ministry commitments up north in where the rain was even getting worse and worse around Tara and Mandara. And Eric, we were just around the table and we were sort of sharing our concerns, and Eric said, you know, I don't know whether we're going to be able to get through and look at the satellite and the rain and it's flooding, and just to get to where we had gotten, we had to go through quite, you know, knee-high water. And we were just discussing this. Without even realising it, our daughter Nikita was listening. And she tends to get concerned rather easily, and she had to get back to her job. And by us sharing our concerns, it was actually starting to create fear in her. She began to say, well, what if I can't get back to work? I have to get back to work. What if I don't get back to work and they I haven't got a job when I go back? And, you know, the what ifs and the what shall I do? What shall I do? Friends, fear can be such a negative emotion, and we have children, we have the children of God here, need to be people who speak positive things to each other, uplifting things to each other, things that don't create fear but create hope. I look at, you know, when the Israelites went into the promised land. I mean, that is probably one of the greatest stories of how fear can influence people. A whole nation was influenced by the report of 10 who went into the promised land and came out and said, oh, yes, the promised land is good, as the Lord has said, but there's giants in the land. They're huge. They're like big, and we feel like grasshoppers. Fear got them nowhere, though. The Israelite nation listened to those 10. They just didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb, and they brought the good report saying, the Lord is with us, we can do this, we can go and take what is rightfully ours because the Lord has given it to us. Because they chose the fear road instead of the faith road, they ended up walking around the wilderness for another 40 years until all those who feared died. Friend, fear is like a fog, I believe. Have you ever been in that situation where somebody will just plant something in your mind and it just festers and it just seeps into you ever so subtly until you work yourself up into such a state? It's like fog. Meteorologists say that fog capable of covering 7 city blocks, so that's a big span, is made up of 1 glass of water divided into 60 million particles. But when it settles, it can obscure your entire vision. I don't know what's going to happen this year. I have no idea. I mean, we're hearing that, you know, come, I don't know, is it December, it's going to be the end of the world, and, you know, these doom and gloom artists, and the economy's going to crash, and interest rates are going to rise, and jobs are going to be lost, and, you know, and we can actually get caught up in that as believers. We can actually get on that gravy train of fear and actually go around even repeating what we're hearing in the media and from other people. But friends, we are to be people of hope. We are to be people of light guiding the way. Jesus should be the one whom we put our faith in and our strength. He is our provider, is he not? I don't fear. In fact, God has been challenging me constantly on this topic. Do not fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of self-control, sound mind. So because I love Jesus, because I walk in his way, because I have been redeemed by his blood on the cross that day, because he is risen at the resurrection, I need not fear, because he is my love. He doesn't want anything bad to happen to me. And even if it does, I know I'm not alone. I look at the greats in the Word of God. And I think if those greats had have succumbed to fear, they would not have ended up in the Bible. I really believe that. I look at Moses. He could have feared men. I mean, he had some pretty dodgy people in the midst. Backbiting and bickering and idol worshipping and all the dodgy stuff. He could have feared them, and yet he would have missed out on delivering the whole Israelite nation out of slavery. He would have missed out on seeing the promised land. He would have missed out on being part of that great experience of the burning bush, meeting with God. He would have missed out. I look at Abraham. He could have feared the unknown. People look at us and they go, boy, I don't know whether I could do what you do. Well, you're not probably called to do what we do. But I can tell you, when our girls were smaller, they would say, "Mum, where are we going tonight?" I say, "Well, we're heading to this town. Where are we going to sleep?" "Well, it could be on the side of the road. It could be..." We had a caravan, we just didn't flick out our swags, by the way. "It could be on the side of the road. It could be in somebody's driveway. It could be on church property, or it could be a caravan park. I don't know. The unknown is out there, and we just go." Abraham could have feared the unknown. God said to Abraham, "I'm taking you into a land which is unknown to you. Just go." And he went. Imagine if Abraham had said, "Oh, I don't know what I can do, that I'm not. I like my comfortable place here. I got it quite good. I like the comfort zone. I know it. That's our known." Abraham would have missed out on being the father of nations, of getting a huge write-up in the Word of God, of being an encouragement to me, and I'm sure to you. This is inspiring stuff, because I don't know what the future holds. You don't know what the future holds. Father God knows what the future holds, and he's trying to encourage us here this morning, to spur us on, to plant a seed of encouragement within us. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Esther, and others could have feared death. We live in such an amazing country, Australia. We don't fear death for our faith. Yet. Nobody's come up to us and said, "Well, you go to church, well, you're going to prison." Nobody said to us, "Well, you've got a Bible, or you've actually got even a bulletin, there's scripture on that bulletin. You're going to be tortured for your faith for even having that." But these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and Esther, and others, like I said, they could have feared all of that, but they didn't. And they were part of a miracle of what God was doing, of salvation, of revelation. I don't know about you, but my life on this earth is very short. I truly sense that. I don't know when I'm going to die. Well, I'm not really going to die, because I'm going to go on to eternity, but this flesh is going to be gone. But while I have this flesh body, I want every moment to count. And it doesn't matter how old you are. We can be people who are without fear, who put God as our priority, and who obey his very call. What do you fear? What do you fear here this morning? Everybody has their thing, their weakness. And I can tell you that the enemy knows what your weakness is. I mean, some we look at it as, "Well, I'm scared of snakes." But just recently, you know, a few months ago, God is giving me that tenacity to overcome my fear in that area. And we were back at base, and the water was fairly going through those pipes into the tank, because we are on tank water for our bases in Childers. And Eric had just come up and he says, "I don't know, I think there's a snake up the pipe." And I said, "Well, why didn't you get out?" He says, "I'm not going near that thing." And you know, God was challenging me on this whole fear attitude and saying, you know, "I am an overcomer. I am victorious through Christ," to use me screen. "I will, I can, I must. I've got that like a little train, you know. I think I can. I can, because Jesus is with me." So I said to Eric, "I'm going to go down there and see what I can do." Absolutely freaking about snakes. And I saw this tail just outside the pipe, and I put on gloves, big gloves. And I grabbed its tail and I'm yanking, and it's above me, so it could have just popped out and got on me. And I'm yanking on this snake of the tail, and I look up, and here's Eric looking down at me with this big cheesy grin on his face. Yanking on this tail snake, the snake's tail, and it wound its way around, so its head was coming out too. And I went, "Ooh, that's, you know, I can hang onto a tail, but when I see the head, that's a bit freaky." And I yanked and thought, well, there's only one way this person or this thing's going to let go, is me getting out of the pipe, and it slithered its way out. It was huge, wasn't it? Well, meter? More? More? Looks like more. Thank you, Lord. So you know what I mean? It's like about overcoming the little things. Another fear of mine is failure. I was brought up in a family who my mum and dad said, you can do anything you put your mind to. So with that mentality, every time it's like I'm going to fail, I start to go, but what if I do? What if I do? I'll let myself down and I'll let those around me down. But God too is helping me to overcome that fear. Whatever your fear is today, you have nothing to fear except the fear itself. Failure only comes by not finishing the race, by not achieving what God has set out to do. How did Elisha help the servant to overcome his fear? Let's look at verse 16. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Verse 17 said, and Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Help him to see. Wouldn't it be wonderful if right now the Lord did something miraculous and opened our eyes to what was around us, to what he was actually doing in our lives? I think we would be extremely amazed at the sight we would see. Because we're not here by chance. I believe that there are angelic hosts here protecting us, even here this morning as you got in your car, protecting you as you came to church. Helping you even to get out of bed. Come on, get out of bed! If we could only see what the Lord was doing, we would have no fear. Brings me to the second point. Father God is always at work, even when we don't see him at work. Do you believe that? Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10 gives an absolute vivid portrayal of what is happening in the spiritual realm. We only see in the natural. In fact, we'll read. No, we won't. We'll go from verse 4. So Daniel's just been told some perplexing things from the Lord. He's seen a vision and he's in anguish. And in verse 4 we start, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the banks of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite. His face was like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it. But such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. And a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up. For I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you set your mind to gaining understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. The reason why the Lord led me to bring that particular scripture is to really help us to understand that there is a battle raging around us. We see only in the natural. We only, I guess, sense and feel and see in the natural what is happening in the spiritual realm or in the heavenly realm. A battle is raging. And we see here that even though Daniel had been praying and 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 seeing nothing, it wasn't that God wasn't doing anything, he was. It's just that the battle was so fierce It took a little bit of time to get to Daniel. Friends, God, if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, I've been praying for healing. I've been praying for a job. I've been praying for a house. I've been praying for my family. I've been praying for my family. And nothing seems to be happening. Can I assure you, you just can't see it in the natural, but God is doing a mighty work. Because we're told in the Word of God that when we bind, what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We have a great responsibility by what comes out of our mouths. And if we're consumed by fear, all that's going to come out of our mouth is fear and stuff. Our daughter, Gemma, we've got two daughters, beautiful girls. Our youngest one's here this morning. She's not feeling the best, so. But we've got her still. But our 18-year-old, our now 20-year-old, left home 2 years ago when she was 18. And she got in with a really bad crowd, heavy drugs. She didn't live in our hometown. She was about 50 minutes away. She's lived on the streets. She's lived in shelters. She's lived on people's couches and sheds. She's had a horrific time. And we knew all of this. And you know, quite often Eric would say, I just want to go and I want to grab her and bring her home. And I had to say that to my husband, it won't make an ounce of difference because she will still go back. So what we determined to do, and me as a mother in particular, was to pray, to actually bind those things that were holding my daughter in bondage. The drugs, the relationships that she had connections to, that they would be severed and broken off her life. Did I see much happening? No. If anything, at times it just seemed like she was getting worse and worse. Did that stop me? No. Because I knew that the battle was raging for my daughter's salvation and soul. 3 or 4 weeks ago, our daughter gave her life to Jesus Christ. She recommitted her life to Jesus Christ. She's still on a huge journey, don't get me wrong. She hasn't had this dramatic, like, turnaround where everything's thrown off her life and she is just glowing white and pure, holy and all the rest of it. We're all on the journey. But the battle has been won and we continue to pray for her. Friends, don't ever think that our mighty God is not working on your behalf, that he's not doing something that would want to bless you and your family. For our struggle, in Ephesians chapter 6 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of the evil in heavenly realms. But we need not fear, because Jesus Christ has given us the victory through the cross. He's on the job 24/7. 1 John says, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Romans 8:3 says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And yet I see so many followers of Jesus moping around like we've got the weight of the world on our shoulders, by golly. Oh, this has happened and that's happened and that's amazing. And I'm thinking, you're not being an encouragement to anybody, especially to yourself. Even David encouraged himself when he was in a tight spot. We've got to change our mindset. If we don't, the enemy's going to have the victory because we open ourselves up to say, well, God, who's God? He's not really big. Whereas I know my Lord and my Saviour. He is the great I am. He is mighty to save. He is the great healer. He is the love of my life. Thirdly, I learned from this particular scripture in 2 Kings that to be used powerfully by God, we have to step out in faith. Just as the responsibility lies on us to overcome fear through Jesus Christ and where our priorities lie and what we say and what we do. Our responsibility is to step out in faith if you want to be used powerfully for the Lord. I look at that scripture and we've seen how Elisha opened the eyes. But it goes on further in that bit of scripture. And we're told that Elisha was a man of faith. Maybe you're thinking, well, how can Elisha be a man of faith? Because he actually saw. And, you know, the faith walk is having hope in that which is unseen, really. But in Hebrews 11, check it out, verse 32, we're told the prophets were men and women of faith. Elisha would have taken faith to actually pray. Do you know it takes faith to pray? It takes faith to pray. I've prayed for so many people over these years. Some I've got reports back of healings and financial lifting and just some miraculous stuff. Others I haven't. But it will not stop me from praying for people. It's a step of faith. Elisha prayed that the servant's eyes would be opened. He went down into the, if you continue reading, he went down to the Aram army and he prayed that the eyes of all those soldiers would be blinded. And then, as a step of faith, he actually went down in the midst and he said, "Follow me. Follow me." Do you know how amazing a blind person's senses are? It's amazing. They hear really well. They smell really well. Their senses are heightened. They would have known who was leading, I'm sure. But Elisha, as a step of faith, went down in the midst, fearing not what could have happened, and led those troops out to Samaria where they were captured. He was a man of faith, friends. We've got to get from fear to faith. We can do it. 2 Corinthians says, "I walk by faith and not by sight." We sing that song, "I walk by faith and not by sight. When things are wrong, it'll be alright." Why? Someone greater is watching over me. That's why I don't sing. People want me to. That's why I don't. I want to leave you with just one little story of faith. Faith is something that you grow in. And I think of this 12 years of ministry, I'm still growing. I'm still growing. You know, you never really quite arrive when you're walking with the Lord Jesus. Perfection is there and He's perfecting us, but it's a growing journey. 2 years ago, roughly, the Lord had said to me, "Go back to tropical North Queensland." We hadn't been back for 7 to 10 years. And I said, "Okay, you open the doors, we'll go." God opened the doors. And I began to share this with Eric, and Eric went, "Tropical North. When are we going? December? January? February?" Oh, really? We're sitting around the dinner table. I'm sharing this with my dad. "We're going Tropical North. December, January, beginning of February." Well, he says, "That's a silly thing. That's a silly time to be going tropical north. Don't you know there's cyclone season? You know, it's all the baddies. You can't even go swimming up there. The jellyfish are out." And he's just negative, negative. Fear, fear, fear. Seeds of fear. "What are you doing a dumb thing like that? He's a Christian." I said, "God told us." "Oh, well, that's a different matter though. Off you go." Well, we started on the trip and it was fine, and we went out to Charters Towers and we got out there and was talking to a farmer at one of the churches we were ministering at. And I was sharing this story about, you know, that God had told us to go up, and I said, "There's not going to be a cyclone, there's not going to be a storm, everything's going to be fine." And he looked at me and he was getting growing more concerned and more concerned. And I said, "Whoa. You know, I thought you'd be happy about me encouraging you that my God is big, that he won't let anything happen to us." He said, "Yeah, one problem with that though, we need cyclones. When you're leaving." I said, "What do you need cyclones for?" He says, "Well, that brings all the water. It brings all the rain inland." So I said, "Look, I'm really sorry, but you're not going to have any rain. Not quite from a cyclone anyway." And we left. See, this is faith speaking out, friends. This is a faith speak. I haven't seen it. I'm not really sure of it. But I've got to believe that God will honour His commitment to us to get us up there and allow no harm to get to us. Well, we go up and we do the ministry, and it was wonderful. Didn't even rain. Beautiful sunshiny days. We came all the way down. We were January. We were still up there, but we're coming down, coming down, coming down. We get back to base, and a couple of cyclones start to fall. And when the name popped up, I just went, oh, Father, you are so funny. What do you think the name of one of those tropical cyclones was? My name's Olga. It's me. Tropical cyclone Olga was developing. And then I went into a little bit of fear mode. I said, oh, Father, don't allow tropical cyclone Olga cause any destruction. Please don't let it cause destruction. Well, tropical cyclone Olga did form, and hardly any winds, and it went inland, and then it went down, 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 down to South Australia, bringing refreshing rains. Friends, we need to learn the faith walk. You say, well, I don't really have that faith like you have. Can I tell you, I don't have the faith walk without Jesus. And one thing I know and have learned, here's some important information for you, that the closer that I draw near to my Jesus in a relationship, that's when my faith grows and grows and grows. As my relationship grows, my faith really grows too. He's a good God. He loves you more than words can say. I just think we need to have that revelation. This year, let's be people of faith, casting out fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Let's be people who champion on the positive, not the negative, in 2012. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for these people that you have brought into this service this morning. It's not by chance, it's not by coincidence that they are here. I pray, Father God, that they would be champions of faith. Lord God, fearing nothing. I pray that you would take them to a new level in you, and that you would challenge them to step out more mightily for you, knowing that you will not allow harm to come to them, but that you want to reveal yourself more to them in such a mighty way as you did the greats of old in the Bible. Friends, perhaps you don't even know Jesus here this morning, though. See, Jesus is the key. Nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And without Jesus, you really can't walk the faith walk, and you really won't be able to see or be part of what God wants you to be part of. In other words, if you don't know Jesus, you're not actually walking in your God-given destiny, in your God-given potential. And this morning, I just want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus Christ here this morning, if you've never given your life to Jesus, you may have come to church for many years, but you've never really said, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. Be my master. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. But today, this is something that you really have a desire to do. If that's you here this morning, would you just raise your hand right where you sit? If you've never given your life to Jesus, but you would like to this morning, just raise your hand real high so I can see. Is there anyone? Perhaps you've given your life to Jesus and you've realized that, wow, I have allowed fear to creep in. I have allowed the busyness of life to become more of a priority than my Lord in my life. I've allowed circumstances to distract me from my relationship with Jesus. I really want my relationship back. I want to recommit my life to Jesus here today. If that's you here, would you just raise your hand while you sit, where you sit, and I will pray with you. Is there anyone? Just where you sit. Father God, I know that you know where these hearts are at. You know where these hearts are in relationship to you. And Father God, I just commit them into your care and I thank you for them. Lord God, but if there are people here who are not walking in your ways, who aren't really in that relationship with you that you so desire them to be in, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would keep on their case, that you would continue to call to them, draw them to yourself. Don't let them go, Father God. I pray, Father God, for those who love you with a passion here this morning and long to serve you, and you put you first amongst all else. I pray, Father God, that you would give them a greater revelation of who you are, that you would inspire them, Father God, to take greater steps of faith for your glory. I pray, God, Father God, that people will see you in them even more so, and that the love of Jesus would just infiltrate their lives and their heart to overflowing, so that, Father God, you would touch many lives through them for your glory. We long for the harvest, Father God. There are seats here empty. And Father God, I pray that you would loose the blessing, Father God, of the harvest upon this town in Jesus' name, so that all may know that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that he alone is mighty to save. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer after service, or perhaps you would like to give your life to Jesus or recommit your life, just come up and see Eric or myself or John or Karen or one of the elders of the church. Please don't leave without getting prayed for or coming up for a chat. We like to chat. But be blessed and knowing that whatever 2012 holds, God is for you. He's not against you. Amen.
Thanks, my lovely woman. Just finish with this song, just so that you know that God is in control. He is the beginning and he is the end. The Alpha and the Omega. And he has the world in the palm of his hand. No more pain. No more hunger. No more tears will ever be shed. We will rise to a new day, dawning. In the distance, Lord, I hear what you say, that you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That's right. You are, oh, you're my Savior, the beginning and the end. Our Lord Jesus holds the keys to life. Don't ever forget, he today doesn't start the car or open the house, but it's the key to eternity through Jesus. Yes, I can sense a new day appearing. Are you preparing for the coming King? 'Cause I know that you are the answer. 'Cause you're the author of life. You're the giver of sight. Lord, you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end. This is the King's part. She did the back of the boat. You're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Yes, you are. 'Cause I know, and you know, Jesus holds the key to a great life here on earth.
of eternity. Don't be fearful, no, don't be afraid. Just know that Jesus holds the key to life. That's right.
Thanks, guys. Bless you. Thanks so much for having us. Thanks, guys.